Hey, comedy fans, welcome to another episode of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm your host, my name is Vinny, and joining me today in studio, it's David Lucas. Today's episode and every episode is brought to you by Comedy at the Carlson. The only place you're going to be able to see David Lucas perform four more shows this weekend. Tickets are available now at carlsoncomedy.com. Now let's kick it over to the studio and chat with David. Hey, comedy fans. My guest today is the newest member of the prestigious Kill Tony Hall of Fame. He's also your headliner this weekend for four more shows here at Comedy at the Carlson.
Yeah.
It's David Lucas. How you doing, man?
What's up, social media people?
All right.
What's going on with y'all?
We're excited to see you in Rochester this week. I know you're not excited to see Rochester so far.
It's all right. It's a little cold, but it'll do. It's so funny because when I come to cities like this, people don't even believe it. They're like, people messaged me yesterday, like, are you going to be there this weekend? All right, I'll grab my tickets now. Like, bro, what do you think a club would just make put a fake poster up and a fake headline that somebody's coming and they're really not coming?
Yeah, that's kind of that's a shady move, but I'm sure it's probably happened somewhere once or twice.
Yeah, and I know because I'm associated with Kill Tony, and, you know, Tony infamously does not like the north part of New York. A lot of people think that I have that same sentiment, but I love upstate New York.
I'm glad to hear it. Do you know why Tony has such beef with Rochester in particular?
It's not Rochester. I think it was in Buffalo.
Okay.
When he was like, where I'm at right now, like just first starting the headline.
Yeah.
I think because of the abrasiveness of his comedy, he had a whole bunch of shows that didn't go over too well. I mean, I run into that still now.
Sure.
You know, because it's like until the world knows you and they trust you, the crazy shit that comes out of my mouth, some people might not get it.
Well, I really couldn't agree with the way you put that better. You walk a very, very fine line. People who know you and know what you do love you, but if they don't know you, you might struggle a little bit out of the gate with some of them. Yeah. What's your strategy to win those people over?
Just sit through the whole show.
Okay.
I gauge like Thursday nights, like last night, you know, Thursday nights for me, at least as a headliner, is kind of like coming in to gauge the room, gauge the sound, see how the feedback speaker, see how the mic sounds, the room sounds, like hear my voice on y'all's PA system. But
how do we score? How do we do?
Y'all pretty good.
All right.
Y'all pretty good. Yeah. It was like half full yesterday, and that the crowd, like the acoustics in that room is pretty good.
They loved you on a Thursday night, man.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy that they stood there and let me bullshit. But winning, I don't really do comps.
Mm-hmm. Either do we.
Yeah, I don't care if I sell 10 tickets. I'm like, no, you're not papering the room because you're going to have a whole bunch of people that are going to walk out.
Yeah,
be disgruntled.
We're anti-papering the room because it's a disservice to the performers.
Yeah.
We're very much a comedian first club. We care very much about comics.
As you should be. And, you know, even when I look at y'all's green room and stuff, I can tell y'all cater to comics because I'm saying, bro, I've been to some comedy clubs that seat 400, 500, 600 people, and the green room can barely have 2 or 3 people in it. And it's like, come on, bro.
I've been to some chain clubs where the green room is like,
I got to work at them.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I put my head down, but yeah, there's one of them. They turn the green room to like a dry storage area for the kitchen. So you're like back there, people are coming back, grabbing bags of flour and stuff.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Chain club. It was a chain club too.
That's insane, man. But I get it. A lot of these, you know, clubs, they are profit first, you know? So, I mean, I get it. But yeah, y'all, I like the way y'all are. Y'all are very attentive to the comedians, making sure we're good. Things we didn't have, because I'm going through a change of management. So there was a lot of miscommunication with stuff that I needed, and the owner made it right. So yeah.
Mark cares very much, man. He wants to make sure you have a good time, because when you're having a good time, the audience is having a good time.
I'm never having a good time. No, I'm just playing.
Yeah. Me neither, man, joking. To be honest. So nah, I'm with bro, you.
I live in my head. I'm always fucking overthinking shit. You know what I'm saying?
I got to ask you, man, because you kind of described your comedy a little bit. We kind of talked about how, you know, some people might find some things you say to be provocative. Mm-hmm. I totally get that.
Or just straight up offensive.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
I did Kansas City. I did a joke about George Floyd and 14 people left one table, but they were all family. And half of them wanted to leave and the other half didn't want to leave. But they were like, man, we got to go because they're all right. But the people that left are all older. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Well, how cool is it to find a platform like Kill Tony that'll put you out there the way that you, you know, the way that you want to present yourself and the way that you want to be heard as a comic? Like, that's a very rare gift.
Yeah. It's very amazing, man, because, you know, in comedy, bro, it takes, you know, 15 to 10 years to be an overnight success.
Right.
And I've been doing comedy about 7-8 years now, headlining for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that during the phase that a lot of comedians only have 5 to 10 people in the audience, I'm lucky enough to a lot of times sell out clubs and people get to see me putting it together, you know what I mean, and working on my act and becoming a better headliner. That's just the name of the game. You want to get better.
It takes a while to really get the headliner position, like to get to that spot where people trust you for whatever reason it is, to do that time. And it's very stressful. I don't think people realize that you have to be writing constantly. Yeah, and especially when you're a regular on the show.
But it's also different now, dude, because a lot of social media personalities are headlining and people are happy with it. Like I was doing a weekend in Seattle and this very popular person on social media was doing a theater and I'm like, what the fuck? And they asked me to come feature. And I said, let me watch the first show. And then I'll let you know whether or not I should be featuring on your show. And I watched the first show. And this person, it was basically like a podcast. There was really like no punches.
Okay.
Like I like comedy that I like, I want to see you cross that line. I want to see the audience almost turn on you.
Yeah.
And then you win them back over. But yeah, like social media has changed the game of comedy, man.
It's made everybody's approach to it differently. I can tell you that, how they present themselves out there. Because now, I think you're built for this time. I mean, the stuff that you do with roasting people in the audience and stuff like that, you're built for it. What I can't stand is comics who I know who are great comics, and the only clips I ever see of them is making fun of somebody's hat or their shirt in the audience.
Well, we do that because
I don't want to burn material. I get
it. Right, and I don't really put my stuff. Like, I got, if I write a timepiece, like I got an Epstein joke, you know, about Stephen Hawking being on the list, and you know, and it's like, all right, you know, this joke has a window, so sure, I'll put that up. But it's like, I don't really want to put it up because it's like I'm at the point now where I'm about to drop a special, and then I'll drop another one next year. So it's like the element of surprise, and certainly, so, and people on social media are such pansies where they feel like if they saw it one time, they're like, you're lazy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's a culture thing. And man, there's something to be said for crafting and perfecting a joke.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, that's what I appreciate. And I'm not trying to, please don't think I'm trying to dump on people who post out stuff like that. What I'm saying was that what you do is uniquely suited for what people are looking for now, because you really nail it in these roasts, man.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yeah. You know, I don't really care for social media or YouTube, but it's a necessary evil that I have to do. I kind of wish it was the old school days where I could just come do this.
Yeah.
Like the day before my shows and the room would fill up. People are just curious or whatnot, or they've seen me on something. But, you know, in order, my managers and agents are always on me. You got to post stuff. You got to post stuff. I'm like, fuck, man. I was born in the goddamn wrong generation.
It's a game now. That's the game.
It gets fun sometimes.
You know? Yeah. It used to be amazing because you could just go fly out and do the Tonight Show or whatever. You get that national exposure and you're good for 6 months selling out rooms, you know?
Yeah. Ron White was telling me he got famous from the Blue Collar Comedy Tour. Yeah. He said because, you know, there was no social media out, he didn't even know he was famous. That's so crazy. He said
I've heard him talk about this. Like all of a sudden one day he's just like, wow, the club is filled.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And he said like 2 weeks later he was doing a theater in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And he walked into a Walmart and people were like, Ron White. And it's like,
yeah. Well, from my experience, what I'm seeing working inside of a comedy club and getting to do a show like this and talking to headliners, the two shows that I think move the needle right now in terms of ticket sales obviously are this one. And then there's Kill Tony, and then there's Gutfeld. It seems like the Gutfeld, that late night talk show that's on Fox News that has stand up on there. That show moves a ton of tickets.
Gutfeld?
Yeah, Greg Gutfeld. He hosts it.
Oh, where's they shoot that at? New York?
I believe it's New York. Yeah.
I had to look that up. I suck at keeping up with new shows and stuff.
But
yeah,
it's wild because the old way things used to be is like it would be a national TV spot on a network. Now you have cable channels like Fox who have a show that's on late nights that just destroys The Tonight Show in terms of like tickets sold. And then you have podcasts like Kill Tony who are out there putting out new talent who are finding their spot with their audiences. It's an amazing time to be a comic. Yes. Don't down it, man. No.
I'm not downing it at all. I'm just teasing you. I'm just saying, like, yes, I do love it. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
Because comedy has afforded me to be able to take care of my kids, you know? So I do love the time I'm in because in this generation of soft-spoken comedians, you got maybe 8 people that are like me out here doing jokes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm friends with all of them. And we weren't made from TV, so we don't have to worry about getting a TV show canceled. So we can come say what the audience is really thinking. And I've popped in on shows with people who have maybe a PC audience, and the crowd loved me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the art.
Well, that's the thing. There's art to what you do. What you do, some people have trouble getting past words. They can't understand the nuance of the joke that you're going for, that I'm using this as a tool to get the funny across to you.
Right.
People have trouble with that. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how you were able to go into a PC room and win people over. I mean, that's surprising to me.
I was just in LA this past weekend, man. And, you know, that's a city, you know, where they triple boosted and all that shit. And I had none of my shows are bad.
Didn't you were living in LA for a while, right?
Yeah.
And then you went to Austin.
I'm in Austin now.
And you're originally from Macon, Georgia, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Born in Miami, raised in Macon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this question. In Austin now, which one of those two cities do you think is closer to living like? Is it like kind of a combo of Macon and LA? Because Macon's a pretty big city, isn't it?
That's where Jason Aldean is from, Kareem Jackson, Otis Redding, Lil Richard. Like 105,000 people.
Okay. It's not as big as I thought it was. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've only lived in Miami, Macon, LA, and Austin.
Do you think that Austin is more like Macon or more like LA at this point?
Depends on where you're at, because Austin has different parts. Like, I live downtown.
Okay.
So that's similar to LA, but still not really.
Mm-hmm.
It's more closer to like a Seattle vibe that I feel. I don't know. It don't feel like LA.
Yeah.
Okay. New Orleans, there we go. Because they got 6th Street, they closed that shit down.
All right. It's crazy.
But if you go to like North or South Austin, then that would be closer to Macon because it's like very suburban, no big buildings, country folk, regular people.
I like Texas. I think Texas is a cool place. How you liking it so far?
Yeah, I save a lot of money on taxes.
I bet. I bet.
Yeah, as opposed to LA. You can't. Yeah, but I love it, man. Only time where it gets real bad is during the summer.
It's hot.
Oh, yeah, bro. I think we reached like 119 last year. I was like, what the fuck?
I flew into Dallas one time, and I was spending some time in Fort Worth, and it was 121 degrees.
Damn.
I felt like my eyeballs were going to melt out of my head. Like, all of the water in your body just, like, escapes.
Yeah, bro. You live somewhere like Texas. Like, right now, bro, I try to get in the sauna 3-4 times a week just to condition my body for when that heat come.
Yeah. You're going to have to, man. Yeah, you got to start warming up.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to ask you before you get out of here, because I know you got a lot of stuff to do and you got shows coming up. Mm-hmm. You have a cool podcast, Fishing with David Lucas.
Yes, sir.
Can you tell me about that? Because it's a really cool concept. I like it.
So I'm not good with like the studio stuff like this.
Yeah.
Like I got a lot of ADD and I just get, you know, disinterested real fast. And I don't want to do that my own podcast.
Yeah.
So I had to combine something that I really like, which is fishing.
Uh-huh.
And you get to take friends, big comedians. I've had a couple of country singers, Jelly Roll on there, UFC fighters. And it's an environment where you're not in the studio. Mm-hmm. You know, you're out in the open and you're just talking. There's no formula. There's no script. We're just out there. Two guys shooting the shit, drinking beer or whatever. You know, like if you're just sitting on the front, like I'm from the country.
Yeah.
So we just sit on the front porch with friends and talk shit. And that's kind of what it is, throwing the reel in the water every now and again.
That's pretty great, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of people love it because it's so relaxed.
How many episodes have you done so far?
Maybe 15.
Amazing.
Maybe 15, maybe.
Yeah. You're going to keep going? You liking it?
Yeah, yeah. I just signed to an agency for that podcast. They really believe in it.
There you go.
I just wanted to go fishing with my friends. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. This guy just keeps moving on up, doing what he likes. I love it.
Man, you know, bro, if it was up to me, dog, I would just fish professionally.
All right.
And do comedy part-time. But I do comedy full time and fish part time.
Okay.
Yeah. I love fishing.
I love that you found what you like to do.
Nobody else is doing it, dude. And I think, you know, in another year or two, this podcast will be as big as, you know, comedians drinking coffee or whatever the fuck Jerry Seinfeld, comedians in cars.
Never heard of him. Never heard
That's
of him.
That's funny.
David Lucas, everybody. Now, listen, I want you to check out David's podcast. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts. Fishing with David Lucas.
Yes, sir.
And you could also visit his website for the links. So that DavidLucasComedy.com, Instagram, David Lucas is David Lucas Funny. And he has a YouTube channel where you could watch some great clips of him roasting people.
Just YouTube, David Lucas. I got a few viral videos. People seem to like that shit.
Yeah. It's funny, man. I was laughing this week. I was watching you.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Yeah.
I try.
And most importantly, folks, while you're out there, grab your tickets. There's four more shows. CarlsonComedy.com. Come see David this weekend and
escape the cold.
Escape the cold. We'll keep you warm here.
We got some warm drinks. Some whiskey will warm your body up real good.
I'm going tequila tonight.
Yeah, tequila, baby.
Act Right Rochester. We will see you at the show. Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Carlson Cast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit CarlsonCast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review.